of this chapter are verses that take us back to that initial sending forth and a calling of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, Pastor Howard ministered to us with that, the basics, just going back to the basics of the gospel and our need to recognize that where we need to start. And certainly feel tonight, as we are here for this occasion, if we would go back here to the basics of the Lord's call. You know, our Lord Jesus spent 3 years of intense ministry with his disciples, preparing them for a life ministry that was ahead of them. There were some that sought to join him, and I know in the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 62, with this one man come, and the Lord said to come and follow him, but he wanted to go back and return to his home first and bid them. And the Lord Jesus made this statement to him. He said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Lord's call and this and that he gives to us is a very important call. I often look at one of the missionaries we support, Tom Zartman, in his prayer letters. He has one statement: "His last command is my first concern." The Lord's last command is his first concern, and this is certainly the last command that the Lord gave in this ordination service. I'd like to go to that we call the Great Commission and to challenge here our candidate for ordination tonight. This text of Matthew 28, 18 to 20 clearly lays out the pattern for ministry that's commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at this in each of its parts. But first, let me just read it, verse 18 to the end. In fact, why don't you read that together with me? "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. God's pattern here for ministry. The very first thing that I see in that 18th verse is that there's that necessity of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That necessity of knowing the Lord Jesus, who he is. And when as he gives this commission, he starts out by saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Certainly, we have heard the testimony here of Brother Howard, how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Certainly the Lord says, "Those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those that receive him will become the sons of God." With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But it is, as we come to know the Lord, it is not just knowing him as Lord and Savior, but in the sending forth, the Lord says here, "All power is given unto me." We recognize, we need to remember who he is. And in your ministry, to remember who the Lord is. He is God. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He has all the power. He has all the power. We recognize he's our creator. He made all things. All things consist. So things are sustained by him even today. He is the life. We have in him is life. Without him, there is no life. He demonstrated his power in his healing, in his raising of the dead, and in calming the waters and the demons obeying him. But it's this recognition that he has all power in heaven and in earth. This is the one that is sending us forth into his service. And it's this knowledge of Jesus Christ and of your relationship to him that'll sustain you through your ministry. If you don't know and depend upon his power and in his greatness, you'll fear in the midst of trial and in the midst of tragedy. It is He who has sent you. Each of us need to recognize that, don't we, as we go forth. It is He that has sent us. We have the one that has all power in heaven and in earth. And so this knowledge and this relationship should drive us and motivate us into action in what we do. Now it's interesting as he goes into the 19th verse here, as he says, "Go ye therefore." We often think of that as being a command to go, but it's actually here in the construction of the word. It's the idea of going therefore, or having gone. It's the assuming because who he is. And these are ones that he called. These are ones that he called to serve him. And so he says, going, therefore, you are going. You know, you have already committed to following. You've already taken him as Savior and Lord. You are going. And so in the construction here, it's going, therefore, or having gone. Following Christ in what he has given us. Following Christ is inherent in believing. Following Christ, you look for his leading. Following Christ, you submit your will to him. And we recognize, even as Paul said, he died daily in that following of Christ. So here now before us lies the instruction book for what you're to do in following him. Brother Howard, as a minister of the gospel, following Christ, you are now to be a leader in following Christ. To be a leader in following Christ. I was thinking of as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and in that 13th chapter of Hebrews, when it says, And here it's speaking to the believers to remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, and it said, whose faith follow? You're to have a faith that can be followed. So in your following the Lord, you are to be a leader in faith, that your faith can be followed. Yes, there is that idea of having ruling over, but it is not a lording over. It is not a lording over. We had that here as we went through that upper room service here very recently. We had that example of the Lord Jesus Christ washing his disciples' feet. When the Lord said, if I then your master and Lord have washed your feet, then you ought also to wash one another's feet. In that ruling that you have as a minister of the gospel, it is as a servant. It is as a servant. And that servant's heart and that servant's attitude. We come to this in knowing the Lord, knowing who he is, and in that knowing him, we then are followers of him as we have committed ourselves to him. And so as we're going, as you're going, therefore, we need to go in that spirit. Then the next thing he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And as you know, that word teach is the same word there in the Greek that is translated disciple. He's saying, make disciples as you're going forth. You're teaching in the sense of that you're to make one's disciples of Christ. So you give the gospel. The gospel, the free grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation that's apart from works. But it's a call to Christ. It's a call to discipleship. a call to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who responds to that call is a new creature, the scripture says. He's created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The Lord has saved us to follow him, that we be followers of him, that we be his disciples. You know, we're not called to empty professions. Your ministry is not to see how many that you can get to come forward to an altar. But it's much deeper than that. It's to seek men who will be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we call men. We call men to the Lord. But we're not just looking for a profession. But we're looking for those, and we're to, and our the call is to make disciples. The call is to have those that would be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, part of the work that Paul told to Timothy was to do the work of an evangelist. That work of an evangelist, it is not just to get someone to make a profession, but it is that they would be to make disciples, to make those who will be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how we each need to recognize that. We need to recognize that that we don't just get somebody to make a decision, but we help them to understand who the Lord is, and help them to, as they make that commitment to him, as they put their faith, their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is a to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of his. And so it says we are to teach, to make disciples. And then the word there, to all nations. The word nations is ethnos. It's from where we get our term ethnic groups. There aren't any to be left out. Every people, all people. The mission that we have is not just to our community. It's not just to those of our friends, those that are like us. We like to get together with people that are like us and have our own little club. But no, he says, you make disciples of all ethnics. The local church ministry is not one of one. It is not to be one of just one ethnic group only. Of course, if that's all that's in your local community, that might be what it would be. But we recognize that we have there's a responsibility in the gospel ministry that there's home missions that it goes beyond your local assembly, that it flows, but a statewide thing flows out of that command. Foreign missions flows out of that, for us to recognize the need of foreign missions. Looking to the world of men, you don't want to be nearsighted, nor do you want to be farsighted. You want to be God-sighted. You want to have that recognition that we have a responsibility to all. We must have a vision. A vision, yes, to those who have never heard. Nor can you ignore the community or the state or the country that has already heard. I think of, we learn and we recognize that you don't just give people the gospel when you've done your job. I remember watching a Christian film a number of years ago, and that was back when they were on the reels. And that was some of you older men will remember the gospel blimp. You know, they thought the way to spread the gospel, they had this blimp, and they would just had all these things that they would, little gospel bombs, you know, and they just scattered them all over the community as they went by. And they had done their job of spreading the gospel. People have now heard. As I recall, there were people shaking their fists at them, you know, because scattering these things all over their yard and everything. But I say that to say that You know, we recognize that there needs to be that working of the ground. There needs to be that planting of the seed. There needs to be that watering. And certainly just because ones have already heard the gospel does not mean that our job is finished. And so we recognize there is that need for all people. We're to make disciples of all ethnic groups. I know here on our own, in our own assembly here at Morrow Bible Church, from its very inception, we kind of set a goal that we would like to have about 20% of our monies that come in that go to missions, and we've sought over the years to try to see how are we doing on that. And it's been a blessing. You know, we have various missionaries that have come, even if we can't support them. We like to hear, let's hear about your work. Let's give us a vision beyond our local area and our local community. We are to recognize, and it's, you know, it's easy with all the needs of a local assembly, and it's easy to neglect God's call to all nations, to all ethnic groups. It's easy just to kind of, hey, we got our needs. And I've had people in the community here say, why are you doing those things over there? We got plenty of need right here. Well, we do have plenty of need right here. But let's have our vision. Let's have our vision where it needs to be. And then he goes on and he says, baptize. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The church, Christ's body, is not a secret society. The disciples of Christ are to publicly profess their faith. There's to be an identity there. You're identifying with the Godhead, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're called upon to have an open identity. We profess Christ to men. We rejoice in our new relationship. We profess our belonging to the Savior. And we have that the Lord has given to us as a public identification. And so we don't want to miss that part. We want to help people in that discipling process to help them to understand this is not just something that you're just to keep inside, but it's something that is to be declared. It's something that is to be where you're identifying publicly with the Lord. And so he gives that instruction as part of that discipling process. Then we come to verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, I thought we just had teaching. Well, this is a different word. This is the word that we would normally use for teaching in the sense it's the word didaskos. It's a word where you lay things out. There's an instruction that is taking place. We have some of you here in the our auditorium today are teachers. You are teachers in the school. Some of you are your teachers at home. But what does a teacher do? You're there to instruct, you know, kind of line upon line, precept upon precept, and you build those things in that teaching process. And he says here to these he's sending out, teach all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's another word in there. He says teach. Teaching them to observe. That word observe is teaching them to guard very carefully, to hold fast onto, to make it a part of you. The teaching isn't just to, okay, we've gone through that class. You know that. That's it. No, but it's to make that to make it a part of them. Teach them to observe all things with knowledge without application. I read that someplace that produces dead orthodoxy. Just have knowledge without that application. It it doesn't do any good. But what are you to teach? Teach all things, all of Christ's teaching. Nothing slip of the sound doctrine that God has given. They'll teach the whole counsel of God. I'd like to, there's another passage of scripture. It's in Acts chapter 20, where Paul gave these instructions. He said, "Wherefore I take ye record this day that I am poor, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." In the Great Commission here, he says, I want you to teach everything that I've given to you. He goes on in that, and he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Part of that teaching all things is that feeding of their souls, helping them to understand all of the counsel of God. He says after that, he says in the 29th verse of Acts 20, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." The people need to be taught all the counsel of God, because there is danger that is out there. There are those that are going to enter in, and they're going to not spare the flock. They're going to seek. And then it goes on and says, "Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Even those within from within, it says that there are going to be those that are coming, are going to rise, and they're going to seek to draw ones unto them, their own selves, by speaking perverse things. So there's such an important aspect in the gospel ministry of teaching everything that the Lord has given. Not to eliminate things, not to just teach stories. You know, I think back years in my seminary days. I sat under a very eloquent preacher in Philadelphia, a man that had a gift of speech, a man that he was fundamental in his doctrine. His messages were very interesting, topical themes. They were presented with a very homiletical expertise, and yet my soul became very lean. My soul became very lean. I remember the refreshment of attending a little church across town where there was a young preacher that fed me the Word of God, just taking simply God's Word and going through it. Because I hungered for the Word of God, even though I was in a church where a very eloquent man was a preacher. You can have all of the eloquence, but if you don't feed him, then you will not have a people that have grown. It's interesting that young preacher is an old preacher today. He sits here in the auditorium, but anyway, commitment to preaching all things in the whole counsel of God will keep you balanced in your church ministry. You don't need the entertainment and the eloquence as much as you need the feeding of God's people. I remember coming here to Ohio 45 years ago. I was blessed to find that kind of a balanced ministry here in our state. I found separated, fundamental men guarding their flocks while faithfully, systematically preaching, expository preaching. What a blessing it was to my own heart. And I challenge you to have that balance in your ministry as you go forth to preach. The last thing I want you to see in this passage, he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." You rest assured in the presence of the Lord. The call began with the person of Jesus Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The call ends here with the person of Jesus Christ. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I remember the words of Moses to the Lord when the Lord said that they would go on, but he was not going to go with him. Remember what Moses said, O Lord, if your presence don't go with me, then don't send us. He recognized he needed the presence of the Lord. I remember when in the passage in Deuteronomy, when Moses words to Joshua, who was going to be taken over, and Joshua says to him in Deuteronomy 31, be strong and be of good courage and fear not nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before you. He will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. Moses went on and said, be of good courage. Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn. But then he says, and the Lord, it is he that doth go before thee. Moses needed it. He knew Joshua needed it. He says, remember that. The Lord will go with you. The Lord will be there with you. That promise is repeated to us in the New Testament in another passage in Hebrews 13, when he says, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll have many things in the ministry that will, you'll say, I don't know what to do. But you're called to do it anyway. And so you just say, okay, Lord, you got to go with me. Lord, you got to go before me. You got to prepare the way. And you go not in your own strength, because you recognize your own inability. So many times I've recognized, Lord, there's nothing else I can do, but Lord, you have to prepare the way. You have to go before me. You have to work in the heart, because I can't do it. We're in dependence upon the Lord. This is not your ministry. It's the Lord's. It's you're there doing the Lord's work, and he said he will there be with you. And then there is that when he says to the end of the world. The passage means to the consummation of the age, to the time when all comes together in the end time, in this age in which we live. We live in an evil day, but we live in an exciting day. We live in a day, as I believe, we're coming to the close of the church age, and when God is bringing that consummation, God is bringing those things together. But he's not called us to leave us here, but he's promised to be with us. He's promised to be with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, Jesus Christ is the omnipotent God. You believe in him both intellectually and experimentally. We're the recipients of his saving grace. God has called us by his commission to all the world. We have the omnipotent commander-in-chief. Our omnipotent commander-in-chief always at our side as this age draws to completion. Though through the eyes of men you may go through times completely alone, desolate, maybe seemingly completely abandoned, yet through the eyes of faith, you see Christ. Soon your faith will turn to sight. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Our Lord will be with us through all things unto the end. Remain faithful to your God, which that is then faithful to your commission to go forth for the Lord. I'd like you to turn in your hymnals to number 224. I know whom I have believed. What a blessed thing.